Okay, praise God. Tonight's message is safe in the arms of God. Safe in the arms of God. I want to share this because I feel like there's a couple things going on. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, revival's coming, and I hear other people saying, oh, hardship's coming, and it's almost like we're dividing into these groups of, no, it's going to be revival, no, it's going to be hardship, and no, I believe the answer is yes. Yes, revival is coming, and yes, hardship is coming. They seem to go together. We see that in Scripture many times. You know, this hardship bringing revival and this revival bringing hardship, and it's just all kind of rolled together as a package deal. And I don't want us to be surprised in the days ahead if hardship comes and we're like, oh no, I wasn't expecting that. Don't allow hardship to derail us from following after Christ. So let's start off with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. In this letter that Peter is writing, he's writing to the church, and the church is experiencing persecution. And evidently there's a little like, oh no, what's going on? A little struggle. And so in 1 Peter 4:12, Peter writes, "Beloved, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you." So let's back up first. The first word in this verse, I love it. He says, "Beloved." Beloved, he reminds them who they are. Remember who you are. Throughout whatever goes on, remember Christ's love for you, Christ's love for the church. Oh, beloved, the beloved one, don't be shaken from the love of God in the midst of adversity. So, beloved, and then it says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when these fiery ordeals, when these persecutions, when this struggle comes. And it says, why? To test you. Or to refine you. These struggles, these persecution, it can act to actually refine us. And it says, don't be surprised as if something unusual were happening to you. In other words, this should actually kind of be expected. The persecution, the hardship, that should actually be kind of expected. Jesus said, those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. That's just part of the packaged deal. Jesus told this to his disciples in John 16, and we won't read through all of that. But in chapter 15 and chapter 16, Jesus tells the disciples, he says, you know, if they hated me, they will hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. He went so far as to say there will be some who will throw you out of the synagogues. You make that into modern day times. There will be those who will throw you out of the churches, the established religion of the day. There will be those who will throw you out of there. There will be those who actually kill you, and they think they're doing God a service. That's Jesus' words in John 15 and John 16. So Jesus tells him, the disciples, these things. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to hear that. But Jesus tells them that. And then in John 16:33, right after sharing those things, Jesus says, I have told you these things being what he had just shared about the hardship. He said, I've told you these things so that, for a reason, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So he tells us these things for a reason. In this hour, he shares with us, you know, there's some hardship ahead. But he shares that for a reason, not to be like, oh no, hardship's coming up. No, not that our focus would be on the hardship, but just that we'd be aware of that, that it wouldn't catch us unaware, that it wouldn't surprise us, that when it comes, we can still have peace. We can be reminded that he is our peace, that he has overcome the world. That we are not to fear those who can merely hurt the body, who can merely kill the body. But we are to fear, honor, serve, love God, who has power over both body and soul. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. Some I'm aware of, some I'm not aware of. There's a profound statement, right? But in our world, in our nation, there's a lot of shaking going on. A lot more than I think any of us truly are aware of. There is a tremendous spiritual shaking going on, and that spiritual shaking is resonating within our physical world. In some ways, there's nothing new under the sun. There's a lot of shakings that have occurred. But we're in the midst of shaking now. I've been hearing stories coming out of China from several different sources. And right now, there's actually some places in China where the government is saying, okay, coronavirus has come through, is ravaged the economy in a lot of ways. There's a lot of people, just like in the United States, just like in a lot of nations, that are becoming heavily reliant upon the government's handouts or the government's giving money to help in the midst of need, saying, okay, you know, we don't have jobs, we can't work, you know. And so the government's saying, okay, here's money to help. But in China, there are places where they are using that to control. And they're actually to both some just Christians as well as to the official Chinese government church, they have actually said, okay, you want to keep receiving your government money, your government help? Well, if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to take away all the religious symbols from your house or from the church, crosses, pictures of Jesus. You're going to have to take those down, and you're going to have to replace those with pictures of Chairman Mao and the current president for these communist dictators. You need to replace those in your houses. You need to replace those in your churches. No longer is it Jesus, a cross, some religious symbol. No, it's the government. Kind of scary, huh? Saying, if you don't do that, you don't get your government check. You don't get it. We're not going to pay you. We're not going to help you in the midst of this trouble unless you swear allegiance to us and not to Jesus. Now, that shaking has gone on in many different nations in many different ways over the years. You say, well, David, that's okay, that's interesting about China, but we're in the United States. Something like that could never happen in the United States. And I'm not necessarily saying that it will happen in the United States. I don't know everything that's going to occur in the future. But let's step back for a moment and think about the last 20 years. Time after time after time, I've heard rumblings of things ahead, and everybody's like, well, that could never happen. We're in the United States. That could never happen. And then 5-10 years later, there it is on our doorstep. Think about the things that 20, 25, 30 years ago that you would have said, that could never happen in the United States. And now it's here. Again, I'm not trying to prophesy doom and gloom. I'm not trying to prophesy hardship, but we need to be aware, whatever form it takes, don't be surprised when some hardship is ahead. Don't forget that the love of Christ. Don't be pushed away and moved from the stance of the beloved. Oh, the beloved, the one that Christ laid down his life for and said, what? If you want to follow after me, then you too need to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me. Sometimes I think our gospel, as it were, in the United States gets twisted a little bit. There's a lot of believers in China and many other nations that are being persecuted, and they're hearing the gospel that's coming forth out of the United States, and they're kind of scratching their heads saying, where'd you guys come up with that? Oh, we are called to live holy lives. We are called to abandon ourselves to Christ. There's, let's just read in Daniel 5. Because we need to recognize when hardship comes, it's easy to begin to point fingers or start getting angry at people or this, that, or the other, and forget about there is a God, there is a King who reigns over the earth. In fact, I'm just thinking about what's behind me on my wall. I keep this on the wall. I've got a map of the world. And what is it above there? There's a crown of thorns. There's a crown of thorns up there. Because there is a King who reigns over the earth. And we can't forget what God is doing. Let's just read in Daniel chapter 5, starting with verse 13. So just first in before this, the king and some people were having a party, and this hand shows up out of nowhere. That'd be a little freaky. And starts writing on the wall, writing these things, and they don't know what the writing means. Like, oh, we can't read that. What's that mean? Magicians and all couldn't tell them what it meant. So, long story short, Daniel gets called. And verse 13, it says, so Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom.
Ooh, wow, yeah.
And what's the response? Daniel answers the king, you may keep your gifts for yourself, and your rewards you can give to somebody else. There's a good key right there. God may provide stuff, and that's fine. But let's not make that the focus. You know, so often we can be focused, well, you know, I want this or I want that. No. No. Daniel's focus was on God. God can provide. God can take care. And I'm not going to do what I do simply because the king says, oh, I'll give you something. Sounds familiar. What? To China. Yeah. Do this and we'll give you this. Don't do this. You don't get it. And Daniel's response would be like, okay, who cares? Who cares if you give me something or not? That's not the point. I'm not going to change what I do based upon what you're going to give me. Because my confidence is in God, and we're going to see this going on from in verse 18 there of Daniel 5. O king, the most high God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. So right here, Daniel's saying, oh, you guy who think you got it all together and think you're in charge, guess what? God's the one who placed your father in authority. God's the one who placed you in authority. And let's keep reading. It says, because of the high position that God gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. Whoa. We see time and time in Scripture where God raises up kings and he brings them down. And you may or may not like a king or a ruler or whoever that God has raised up. God has raised up some evil kings throughout history to serve God's purposes. Doesn't necessarily mean all the evil is good, and yet God brings good forth out of it. But we got to step back and say, okay, remember who is king of the earth. When these things come, when shakings happen, remember who rules and who reigns. Don't get shaken and surprised when hardship comes. Keep your focus on him and follow after him. At the end of the day, let's trust God's leadership. Let's trust God's leadership. Say, well, you know, some people say, well, God's causing this, or God's not causing this, or God's allowing this, or whatever. And we can talk about that, but at the end of the day, one way or another, God has allowed what is happening. It's in our midst, and let us allow whatever is occurring and whatever occurs in the future, let us allow it to work for us and for the glory of God. And let's not get angry, bitter, and turn away and say, well, God doesn't love me. Let's remember the king who wore the crown of thorns, the one who laid down his life. There's a lot of things in life that I personally don't understand. There's a lot of things happen. I'm like, I don't get it. But I cannot challenge the love of God because I know he laid down everything to demonstrate his love for us. And he is with us through the fire. Says he'll be with us when we go through the fire. He'll be with us when we go through the waters. So what do we do in the midst of shaking, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of whatever is here and whatever comes in the days ahead? Let's remember to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. See, the temptation is as the shaking comes, we're like, oh, no, that's not, that, that. It's what? It's things that can get our attention off of God. And that's why I share this. That's why I share this message. Not to be like, okay, well, you know, all this hard stuff's coming and this terrible stuff and, you know, oh, no, you better be afraid. No. I simply share this to say, hey, there's some what we would consider good and there's some what we would consider bad ahead. And let's not be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among us to test us, as if something unusual is happening. Don't be surprised. When we look at the Chinese church and we see, oh no, they're saying, you know, get rid of Jesus and replace it with the governments. Don't be surprised at that. And if that comes to a nation near you, don't be surprised. But don't let it distract from what we are to be about. We are to be doing what is right. We are to be loving mercy. And we are to be walking humbly with our God. As I come to a close here, maybe you say, now, wait a minute, I thought the title of this message was Safe in the Arms of God. And now you're saying, there's trouble, there's persecution, there's hardship. What happened to the safety? In Luke 23:44, Jesus was dying on the cross. And as he was breathing his last breath, or as some thought was his last breath, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Even in this moment that would seem like the worst moment of all, I've been tortured, abused, nailed to a cross, and I'm breathing out my last breath. But even there, he was safe in his Father's arms. Remember that. Remember that today. Remember that tomorrow. Remember that in the days ahead. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what occurs, may it be on our lips, Father, I have committed my spirit into your hands. I am yours. You are mine. You have overcome the world, and whatever may come, we are joined together. And what can man do to me when I know you? You can take this world. You can take this world, but give me Jesus.